My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me, O save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groanings. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplications. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. With Bathsheba and his murder of her husband Uriah, David knew that most of his troubles in life were his own fault. Also later in life, David sinned by numbering the people. And for others, this might not have been a sin, but for David, who was trusting in the Lord and not in the number of his armies, this was also a sin and a very grave sin, because God punished the whole nation for David's sin. And so at the end of his life, and I believe this psalm is from near the end of his life, and David lived to be 75, I think, was his age when he died. So not a super old age. And in the last several years of his life, he was bedridden. And so as a young man, David could say, "For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I could leap over a wall," in Psalm 18:29, when he was old. He wasn't old and active. He was old for probably years in bed and sick and feeling the problems that his sin had caused. Now, not all sin, not every time we're sick is it our own fault. And yet David knew his sin was his fault. He took it as his fault. And so he prays like he does in this psalm. First point, David acknowledges his sin and begs for mercy. He says in verses 1 and 2, "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled." Note, David doesn't ask for God not to rebuke him or chasten him, but he asks him not to rebuke him or chasten him in his hot displeasure. He's telling God, "Don't be as mad as you can be at me. I'm already repentant. I'm already really sorry for my sins." And I know with my own children, there was different ways. My son Jonathan, when he was 2 years old, he was extremely rebellious. And he was big for a two-year-old. He was actually the biggest two-year-old, and we were in Mississippi at the time in the two-year-old nursery. And he would beat up all the other two-year-olds. And he did this regularly. And somebody called us to account for it, and I remember this lady said, she says, "You're just not spanking him hard enough." And that was the issue. We weren't spanking him hard enough. We spanked him harder one time, and he never did it again. All it took was one real hard spanking, and Jonathan was never a problem for us. Now Elizabeth, my daughter, my youngest, the one that you know the best, the ones who know her, all I'd have to do with her is look at her with a mean look, like, daddy's not happy, and she immediately start crying and crying and saying, please don't hurt me. And that's kind of how I think David is acting here. He's already going through trials, but he doesn't want to go through any more. And so he says, do not rebuke me in your hot displeasure. When you think of God's hot displeasure, we read several times in scripture of hell, and it's eternal. And, you know, it says, and they shall go forth upon the corpses of all the men have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. And I believe David, because he had committed such terrible sins, and because he's also bedridden and he's in pain, he's maybe thinking, I'm condemned. And he's praying that he won't be in hell. We see that, you know, Jesus says about hell, where it's the place where the fire is not quenched. And so he prays that God would not discipline him in his hot displeasure. And we're sure from what we read in scripture, David in the New Testament is called a man after God's own heart. And if you read through the New Testament about David, his sins are not mentioned. It's like they're forgotten. They're not recorded anymore. God does rebuke his own people, and he chastens them even when he gets no good response. We see in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, it says, alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They've turned back, away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. There he's talking about how bad they were sinfully, and they had been punished for this sin, but it's like they don't even feel it. That's not changing them at all. Their punishment is a punishment, but they don't respond to it. The worst in scripture, though, see no repentance and no sorrow for sin at all. In Revelation, it says, and men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. And so in the end times, there will be great heat that will burn people. And it says in those days they won't repent. They won't turn back to God. Some stubborn sinners are saved by trials. Terrible twins, twos, this is where Jonathan was. It says in Proverbs, do not withhold a correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. My children, as I said, Jonathan required a hard spanking. Elizabeth required a face, maybe an angry face, but it turned them away. They turned to God, actually, in the end, and were very godly children now as adults. And pain gets us praying. When God puts us through pain, how many have you been through pain and it made you pray more? I know for me, it definitely is the case. When I'm in pain, when I'm sick, I pray more than when I'm healthy. It's sad because we're supposed to pray without ceasing, but when we're going through a lot, we pray more. If we're God's children, he will discipline us. Hebrews 12, 6 and 7 says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? And so that was what David was going through, the chastening of a father. And he I think he knows this, but he also knows how bad his sin was. So he does not, he pleads for mercy, and that he would not discipline him in his hot displeasure. God disciplines us, but he also has mercy, as it says in verse 2 of Psalm 6, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak." And if we look over our pains in this life, there's always mercy in them. There's always some, even when we go through a trial, even a strong illness, there's usually an end to it, or there is a relief in the midst of it, or there's happy people trying to help us, loving people. There's these special mercies that we have in the midst of difficulty, and God does give that, especially to his children. Secondly, David's sickness is a dire one. He is praying for healing. He says, "O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake, for in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears." He says, troubled bones. I think of arthritis with troubled bones. But some of you feel that trouble in your bones, pain in your bones, and he mentions that. Then he also mentions soul trouble, which is guilt, a soft heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 says, "I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take a heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." When we have that heart of flesh, what's the difference between a stone and flesh? Well, if I were made out of stone, nothing could hurt me. I wouldn't feel any pain, because stones don't feel any pain. But if you have a heart of flesh, you feel if you get poked, if you get something that hurts you. And a heart of flesh means if you do something wrong, you are feeling bad about it. You are hurting for it. You are saying, "Forgive me." You're saying, "Help me." It's different than a heart of stone, because a heart of stone can run right into those evil things and even laugh while they're murdering somebody. And sometimes you see that. You see a murderer and he's laughing, "Ha ha ha, I murdered my mother or my father, or I murdered my friend," and they're laughing. But that's a heart of stone. Charles Spurgeon used to pray, and he wrote this little poem. He said, "If to the left or right I stray that moment, Lord, reprove, and let me weep my life away for having grieved thy love." When God is loving and good to us, if we do something wrong against him, which David certainly did in his sin against with Bathsheba and Uriah, he felt bad for it. He felt horrible about what he did. And I believe at the end of his life, when he was bedridden, he remembered these things. Not only what happened with Bathsheba and Uriah, but also probably his numbering of the people. The return and deliver here, verse 4, are from disease, but also from the sin that caused the disease. Death, mentioned in verse 5, is not only physical death, but I believe spiritual and moral death. For he says, "For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks?" Well, in the grave, nobody gives you thanks. But those who are in heaven, they give God thanks. They praise him. And I believe David knew this. And so he's praying that he would not go to hell and be among those who are dead, but he would be with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, those who are living, as Jesus says. Jesus says, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are the living. And I believe David is praying that he would be among the living. Have you ever prayed such a prayer? I have. There's been times when I've had gout or I've been in pain when I think, God, save me. Because even though I trust in the Lord and I have trusted in him, I feel like if I can't handle the pain of gout, I won't be able to handle the pain of hell. And so it makes me pray, Lord, save me. Don't let me go to hell because I cannot handle it. And I believe that's what David is doing here. He's going through extreme pain. And he realizes his sin deserves this. Could God put him in even more extreme pain? He could. And so he prays against that. Notice the extremes of his pain. He says he's weary with my groaning. Meaning he's groaning. That's probably all he can do is groan. He's only physically able to do that, and he's groaning. He says, all night I make my bed swim, which either is sweat in bed, or here later he says, I drench my couch with tears. And so, you know, if you're sick and you have a fever, you're sweating in your bed and you're making it swim with that water. Or if it's guilt over your sins in your past, you're crying. And we know he was crying. And he says, I drench my couch with my tears. Sadly, Peter, in his denials of Christ, is almost as bad as Judas in his betrayal. Yet Christ forgives and restores Peter. And he forgave David, and he forgives us, even though he'll let us go through consequences for our sins. Third, David's difficulties are made worse by enemies. He says, my eyes waste away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. Now here David is praying against his enemies. When he was a young man, he prayed against them, and he could fight them. Like Goliath, he could take him out. Like the Philistines, he took them out. I believe here is when he's older. And he can't fight like he used to. He's laying in bed. His enemies, they can't attack him physically because he's still king. And he's still surrounded by guards. But they're still around. They still want to take him out. They're still among his sons. There is Adonijah who wants to take the throne, even though Solomon is the one that God had chosen and David would take as his king after him. And so there was fighting going on even among David's family at the end of his life. And I believe this is what he's talking about here. You depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Because there were all these enemies that he had at the end of his life. And they knew how David had sinned. And they would use that against him when they spoke against him. They saw him bedridden and not able to move, and they go, aha, see, God is punishing you. And there was a truth to that. God was punishing him. But God's punishment of David would end when David's life would end, and David would go to heaven, even though he went through all this. But here he prays about these people. Satan delights when a godly man falls, especially when a well-known leader like David falls. 2 Samuel 12:14, it says, however, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also he has born to you shall surely die. That was the child that was between what happened with David and Bathsheba, that first child. That child died, and there was all sorts of calamity in David's life after that. Our troubles, like David's, are consequences of sin. They're not always the consequence of our sin. Sometimes they're just consequences of sin in general. But I remember one time before I was a Christian, I was in college, and I got drunk. And I set our fraternity drinking record of Wild Turkey whiskey. I drank 23 shots of Wild Turkey whiskey, and after I did that, I finished the bottle. And I remember waking up the next morning and I could not move. And I'm sitting there in bed. I can't move and my head is pounding, 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 pounding. And I'm praying to God. I'm saying, God, if you just let me live, I'll never drink again. Well, I drank again, but and that wasn't very good way of promising God, because I wasn't able to do that. But I remember that day, this young man named Simpy, that was his nickname. I think his last name was Simpson, but everybody called him Simpy, and I didn't even know him. He wasn't a friend and he wasn't an enemy, but he was somebody that almost everybody didn't like, because he was always mean to people. And when he found out I was laying in bed with a hangover, he came over to the bed just to come and bother me and yell and scream and make a lot of noise and do this. And I remember I couldn't chase him out because I couldn't hardly move in the bed. But I remember I was glad when somebody else took him out. But that trouble was part of my consequence of sin, just like David had consequences of his sin when he had enemies that were not any good. But these enemies, eventually God's enemies also, would be defeated. They are sinful and without Jesus Christ to save them. And so these enemies that came against David, even though David was rightly being harassed or rightly going through pain because of his past sins, these enemies were not right in what they did to David. They were wrong in the way they treated him. He was a king. He had been a good king. God had forgiven him. And so they shouldn't bring these kind of things to him. One of the men that did this to David was Shimei. And Shimei came and threw rocks at David. And David and called David all sorts of names and accused David of sins that David had not committed. But David, knowing he had committed other sins, told his soldiers not to kill Shimei, to have mercy on him, because he deserved what he was getting. But later, after David died, and Solomon was ruling, and Shimei got out of line, Solomon had him killed. And so the consequences of sin came to Shimei for that. And here David prays about, let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. He, in this case, David himself, was praying for his enemies, one for mercy, but if they weren't receiving that mercy, which he gave them when he told the soldiers not to kill them, they would eventually be ashamed of their treatment of him, and then finally Solomon might get them in the end, or God actually gets them. And so we see this kind of thing happen in Scripture. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your kindness to us, and we thank you for David and what he did in this passage that we read of. And even though he struggled and his struggles were his own fault, yet we know he found grace in your sight, that you answered his prayer, even though he went through great difficulties. We believe now he's in heaven with you, and we thank you for that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have one more song.